Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Mike Kapler here with Joel Brzezicki for the Growing in Grace podcast for yet one more week, at least one more week of doing this podcast, focusing on the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and just finding out how deep and wide the love of God is for us that sometimes you don't always hear in religious circles. So we've got good news here. If somebody just turned you on to us and you're a little bit nervous about this whole religious stuff, I think you can just sit back and relax, take a deep breath. We're not here to point fingers at anybody, but if we're going to point any fingers, Joel, I think it's going to be we're going to try to point people to Jesus.
Yeah.
Super spiritual button.
That's true, but it's super spiritual at the same time. Well, going along with that, I mean, Jesus did not come to condemn. He said, I did not come to condemn. He came to give people the truth. He came to give people the gift of God's righteousness. And he couldn't have done that if he only came to condemn. I mean, if that was his mission, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, and wagging his finger in the faces of sinners, I mean, then he couldn't have been the Savior. He would have only done what the law did, and he could have only brought guilt and condemnation upon people. But he came to save, not to condemn. And so we want to point people. We're not going to point Jesus anywhere. We're going to point people to him because he is the one who came to save. And so it's all about him when it all comes down to it. Not about law, not about even our doctrines. Doctrine, I love doctrine. I love talking things. I love discussing things with people. But it really boils down to knowing Jesus and the fact that he knows us when we come to believe in him.
Mm. We were talking toward the end of last week's program, and from John chapter 7, one thing that got brought up was that even his own family, his brothers, born of Mary, did not believe in him, like you said last week, at least not at that time. I think we see potentially where they may have come to believe in him. We don't really know for sure. Not a whole lot is said about the brothers of Jesus. I mean, even James has limited mentions, even with his position after the cross at the Jerusalem church. But and it seems to be that James, and I have no reason to think that the other brothers might have had the same experience, but after the resurrection, I think that's probably, I'm guessing here a little bit, all right, so hang in there with me, but I'm guessing that's when James came to believe, because he saw the risen Jesus. Jesus made an appearance to him, according to something that Paul wrote anyway, and so there's that. The other thing I think that's interesting here, Joel, is, I mean, you can read through chapter 7 of John sometime, and I think there's some pretty interesting things here, but let me stay on this subject here for a minute and jump over to Matthew 28. Jesus is risen here. He had met with his disciples before, and now he's speaking to them, 11 disciples, right? Matthew 28:16, the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him. And here's three key words that still fascinate me to this day. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Can you imagine such a thing? I mean, we know the story of Thomas. Jesus made an appearance. Maybe Thomas wasn't there. This is in another passage. But Thomas comes around and like, oh, yeah, right. Yeah, sure he was here. I'll believe it when I see it and stick my hand in his wound. And, you know, and that happened. And then Thomas was like, oh, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, well, you believe because you've seen, but even more blessed will those be that believe and do not see. But I still find it interesting that they worshiped him, they saw him, touched him, theoretically, but some still doubted. And then Jesus goes on to tell them, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So it's interesting, Joel, that this faith thing, sometimes, like we were talking about a little bit last week, it's difficult to define how people will come to faith or to come to believe or to come to trust in Jesus. And I know we sometimes think there's got to be a certain formula. You mentioned a few last week. We need to tell people that they're sinners, that they've broken the law, that they, you know, the Romans road. They need to pray the prayer, whatever that is, the prayer of salvation. They need to invite Jesus into their heart. They need to make Jesus Lord of their life. There's all kinds of different catchphrases and methods and particulars that people think need to apply, just based on our culture and habits and hand-me-downs that have been handed down from one generation to the next. But as Paul explained, no one really knows the heart of a person except except that person in a nutshell. And so it's easy for us to look at what is seen outwardly and make judgment calls on what we think about somebody and whether they're a believer in Christ or not, or any of those kinds of things. And I just think there's a lot, you know, somebody said something to me recently about somebody who had passed and they wondered where they were at in that moment now that they had entered eternity. And they just kind of hoped that they were, you know, in heaven. And I kind of made the comment, knowing the person, whether I knew the person or not really doesn't apply here, but I made the comment that I believe they are. And I think that because, you know, sometimes the church people take a pretty hard line on who they think a Christian is, mm-hmm. based on some of what I just already mentioned. And I just made the comment, I just think... You just don't know, because this person had been exposed to a lot of information about Jesus, and I just chose to believe that there's a good chance that this person was somebody who chose to believe. And I think sometimes our version or definition of what believing means is very difficult to define. To define the divine, and I just think that there's times where we need to lay down the gavel, the judgment hammer, and begin to realize just how great God's love is for people, how great His grace is for people. Look, there are people around the world who are never going to hear this gospel like what you and I have heard. Where does that leave them? Well, I'll tell you, some evangelical hardliners, I've heard them say it, that they just drew the short straw and they are out of luck. Hmm. And I think God's grace is greater than that. That's just me. It's just something I'm growing in and trying to gain a greater understanding of it.
Yeah, and I think that goes with so many things. As I've been learning and growing in too, whether it comes to the... eternal things, the things of eternity, and the things, you know, some things that we can agree or disagree upon doctrinally that don't necessarily have anything to do with eternity. You know, some of the arguments we get into, some of the doctrines we try to defend. And I'm not, as we shared a few weeks ago on a podcast where we were talking about, you know, not feeling the need to let everybody know that you're right, or convince everybody that what you say is true. There's nothing wrong with arguing, because the word argue means to present a case for or against something. I think, you know, some people get bitter and angry and all kinds of bad things can come of that. But if you're simply just sharing your thoughts and views in a respectful way with others, that's great. A lot of times it just gets away from that. But in some of those things, I think we try so hard to let other people know that this is what I you know, you read something in the Bible and you're convinced that your interpretation is right and that somebody else sees exactly the same chapter or passage and has a different opinion or view on it, and the individual verses within that passage or chapter, you can each of you can bring something different out of it, and you're each convinced that you're right, and it just kind of gets away from the whole idea that, you know what, it's okay, it's all right. Really, let the Father reveal the truth to you, and be content with that. It's okay if other people don't see it your way. And also be open to the fact that each of us is not right about everything. no matter what view you have on any certain doctrine, just be open to understanding that you could be wrong. I've been shown to be wrong on various things, and it's been refreshing to see the truth. And so a lot of this has come from John 7. I think there were many people when Jesus was here walking on the earth. There were people who believed in him and people who didn't. We were talking about his brothers, John 7:5, for even his brothers did not believe in him. And then, so Jesus said there was a Feast of Tabernacles coming up, and he told them, you go up to this feast. I am not yet going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come. And then when his brothers had gone up, then he also did go up to the feast, but not openly, but as it were in secret. So he kind of fooled them a little and said he wasn't going, but he went in secret. But then the Jews sought him at the feast. Where is he? And there was much complaining among the people concerning him. Some said he is good. Others said, no, to the contrary, he deceives the people. Mm-hmm. Have you heard that type of thing in arguments and discussions among believers? Not necessarily having to do with who Jesus is, but about doctrines. Some people say, well, this person preaches this and he's really good. And other people say, no, he's deceiving people. You know what? Sometimes we can just let those things go, and it really doesn't matter. Because in the end, it's what is revealed to us individually by the Holy Spirit. That's something I get out of this anyway. I more and more, as I've taken part in discussions and as I have witnessed other discussions, and I have seen believers, even our fellow grace-minded people, get so upset with each other and so against each other and so, there's a lot of words that I could use. It's just very upsetting and heartbreaking that people spend so much time and waste so much energy defending their views and making sure that other people know that they're right, when really some of these things really don't matter. And if they do matter, we can let the Holy Spirit sort it out. And we're not the judge of other people and what they believe. I'm not the judge of what somebody else believes. If somebody believes something different than me, as much as I may really believe something, it's not up to me to judge whether somebody else is deceiving people or the state of their ministry because they don't agree with what I agree with. That's not up to me. And we just need to let the Holy Spirit sort things out individually in the hearts of people, because we don't know their hearts. He does.
Well, and Jesus referred to this in John 7:37, on the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Remember when Jesus said, drink of the water that I give and you'll never thirst again. This is a reference to salvation. But then he goes on a step further and says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. What's he talking about here? Verse 39, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit had not yet been given at this time, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So, yeah, I mean, it's not so much about what you think you need to believe about the Bible. This is more about life being given from the life giver and being able to walk in this regardless of Bible doctrines. It's a beautiful thing when we come to this place.
Yeah, it really is. If anything, we get anything out of this, one more thing. Therefore, many from the verse 40, you were just down there in the 39, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, truly, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Now, a lot of these people didn't understand that Jesus had been born in Bethlehem, even though his family was from Nazareth, and people just didn't know the whole story. And so sometimes, what I get out of that is that sometimes we can look at the scriptures, because they were talking, has not the scripture said that the Christ will come from David and Bethlehem? So they'll have their certainty about what the scriptures say, but not know other things that might be there. So just leave yourself open to what the Spirit has to say. And again, the scriptures are wonderful. It's great. We can discuss them. But let's not be enemies because of the things that we think are clearly said in the scriptures. Instead, let's let the Spirit be our guide.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.